You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
The tree is old and tall. The shadow of King's Cross Station would reach the tree, but for the high stone wall that separates churchyard from tracks. Tangled in the roots of the tree are gravestones, more than 100. The roots surround the gravestones on all sides, swallowing some almost completely. It is a mystical object, a bit like Stonehenge, say, except that it was born in Victorian England and not the time of the Druids. It is called the Hardy Tree. The story goes that Thomas Hardy was its creator, before he was a novelist, back when Tom Hardy was a young architect's assistant, given the job of exhuming thousands of dead bodies in order to make room for trains.
Welcome to St Pancras Old Church. I'm Father James Elston, the team rector of this parish. The parish church here at Old St Pancras is a home to the Hardy Tree, which attracts visitors from across the world. And here is Lester Hillman, who is our local historian.
1837, the railway arrived at Euston. 1850, the railway arrived at King's Cross. There was a need to bring the Midland Railway in between them, and the space was very limited.
The Midland Railway managed to squeeze their tracks into King's Cross by building them on top of part of the ancient graveyard of St Pancras Old Church. They had to clear all the graves and bodies buried there first, between 10 and 15,000. This is where the young Thomas Hardy comes in.
Hardy had trained as an architect in Dorchester, and then at the age of 21 in 1862, he went off to London, and the architect Blomfield took him on.
This is Helen Lang, chairperson of the Thomas Hardy Society.
In 1866, which is, of course, the anniversary we're coming up to, the Midland Railway was about to be built, and there was this very sensitive issue of the need to remove graves. Blomfield was given the work, and most of the time he delegated it to Thomas Hardy.
It was a grim job. They worked in the evening and through the night, lit by the flickering light of lanterns hidden behind sheets so that the neighbours wouldn't see what was being unearthed.
One grave revealing a skeleton plus an extra skull.
Headstones were transferred into the area of the graveyard that the Midland Railway Company was not taking. Around 100 of these cleared headstones were arranged in a tightly packed circle. It is this curious arrangement of stones which would become the Hardy Tree as we see it today. Can we say that young Thomas Hardy, with his poet's eye, was responsible for its creation?
I'd like to say he was, but it's very, very difficult to say. Firstly, the area would have not had trees. If you look at photographs of the area when the works were going on, very few trees, or such trees as there were new trees and relatively small trees. Trees were absolutely the thing you didn't want in a working graveyard, because they would have diminished the amount of space available and made it difficult to dig.
There's no evidence, then, that Thomas Hardy arranged the headstones himself, and, even if he did, it's uncertain if there would have been a tree there at the time, or whether the tree grew later by happy accident. Thomas Hardy
didn't say much about it himself.
But you do sense that he was troubled, or he'd remembered it, it seared itself on him in later life, in his writings 20 odd years later.
I'm quite sure that the Level churchyard was inspired by what he experienced.
O passenger, pray list and catch our sighs and piteous groans, half stifled in this jumbled patch of wrenched memorial stones. We late lamented resting here are mixed to human jam, and each to each exclaims in fear, I know not which I am. The Hardy Tree has a weird and beautiful presence. I could try to describe it to you, but I don't think I would succeed. Here are words from the artist Anthony Gormley and from Simon Causer of North London Trees to help you understand the effect it has.
It holds this Dickensian darkness, that churchyard.
The roots itself will carry on growing every year exponentially around the things, and they're trying to find the path of the least resistance. So that's why you get all these beautiful shapes and weird stuff like that.
There's something just really moving and beautiful about, you know, in a way, memory and history, and I suppose the intertwining of human time and biological time.
I think it's about the 200-year-old mark. They sort of, ash trees generally don't, ballpark figure is about 250 years for their lifespan. So this one's obviously at its peak, yeah. Because it's rubbing against those gravestones, these points become places where fungus and other bacteria can get in.
Maybe when the tree has died and rotted, that somebody might want to open those closed books again and inquire.
The tree is a mystical object. It promises meaning, but keeps its secrets tight shut. One man thinks he has come to understand them. A modern poet. Perhaps it takes a poet to understand these things.
My name is Aidan A.D., a.k.a. Voice of King's Cross. King's Cross has been my vocation. King's Cross has been my calling. King's Cross is my mission field. This tree could be said to feed on stone and death in the way that we do. We make our cities of stone and they're full of death and they're utterly heartless. But out of it grows a thing we call life. That's what we see here. We see the tree of life. It's interesting that his name, I've called it the Hardy Tree, means the long-lasting tree, doesn't it? It means the everlasting tree, if you think about it. It's more than an evergreen. It's more than an evergreen, it's a hardy. It means it's going to be like it's a yardie, it's going to stay there, right? It's bigger than a yardie, it's a rasta tree. I'll take you to a tree with its roots in us. Eating stone, as one day forests will eat London. Standing at the margins of the modern world, ghost stalkers loom here, menacing, formidable. Here are illusory planes, disturbed manifestations where beating hearts are kept in metal boxes. Skulls and shanks lie around variously, metaphysical worms feed copiously here. Duality is everywhere. Only in this shade is equilibrium, wisdom won from pain. Here is a tree of faith, not just rooted and founded in the bone house of dust, barricaded in time and place. Hardy green tree of life, where sun children dance, on dance floors of the Pan Cross, transcultural paradise.
One day, another hardy tree may spring up. 10 years ago, when work was being done to send the Channel Tunnel into St. Pancras, more gravestones were cleared from the churchyard, and these stones were arranged in an S-curve.
Almost an echo of Hardy's work with the previous railway.
If HS2 goes ahead in a few years' time, then dozens of graves and hundreds of remains will have to be moved in St. James's Gardens beside the Euston Station. Should we be looking for the reincarnation of Thomas Hardy in the planners working on HS2? Perhaps we should. This year will mark the 150th anniversary of Thomas Hardy's work in the St. Pancras Old Churchyard and of the genesis of the Hardy Tree. If you want to pay a visit to this beautiful, dark, and mysterious tree, then keep an eye out for commemorations throughout the year.